I shall begin. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Homage to the Buddha, the Blessed Noble and Fully Self-Awakened One. So the topic for this evening were the 10 perfections. I'll just read through them. Generosity, morality and renunciation. Wisdom, effort and patience. Honesty, determination, goodwill and equanimity. This is one list I never bothered to learn. So you can see that's a bit too much for one evening. So what I've chosen is generosity, since we're at that time of the year when we give presents and stuff. So generosity rates highly, you know, in the Buddha's teachings. If you remember in his own personal story, he went through that great doubt just before he became liberated. So the great doubt really centered on who was he, of all people, to try and find the end of suffering, yeah? And as the myth goes, the earth goddess rose and said he has every right to do this because he has fully perfected the virtue of generosity. So basically, what gave him that little bit of extra energy, as far as I'm concerned, is that he knew he was doing it for other people, yeah? So if you think about Mount Everest, you know, when, what was his name? Sherpa Tenzing and Edmund Hillary got up there. They opened the gates of Everest, and now everybody and his dog can get up there. So that's the same with the Buddha. Once he'd discovered this path, as he said, the gates of the Dharma were opened. And that business of generosity was what gave him the last little push, yeah, to go for it. And whenever he's talking to lay people, he always starts off with generosity. And he points out that even thieves can be generous, yeah? So after they've stolen £1,000 from you, they can always be generous with it and give it to their mates, see? So what we have to distinguish is between what you might call just ordinary generosity and spiritual generosity. So, I mean, at this time of the year, you're giving presents. So, you know, if you buy a family member, you spend a lot of money on an amazing pair of socks and they send you a scrappy pair of gloves, well, you know what they're going to get next Christmas. So, I mean, it's a sort of generosity, but obviously there's a bit of payback, you know. And it's the same with when you help people, you know, like if somebody says, you know, come and help with the garden or do some decoration. Well, you're very happy to, but you presume that when your garden needs doing or you need a bit of decoration, somebody else, that they'll come back and do it for you. You know, you're very upset if they don't. So that's you might call that just friendly generosity. But I think that we get to spiritual generosity, you know, when we're making donations to charities that obviously have nothing to do with us personally. So, you know, making a donation to things like Oxfam, Médecins Sans Frontières, all those sorts of charities, we're obviously giving something and there's not going to be any personal return for us at all. Now, that's a different sort of generosity, and we can call it a spiritual generosity. So, it's giving something without any expectation, yeah? So how do you do it? This is the point, you see, because normally speaking, even whether we are aware of it or not, there's always a bit of greed in there. We're always doing it for some payback. So whenever you're making a donation, whether it's you're putting money in a box or you're going to just press a button on a screen, you know, you have to suffuse the heart and mind with that intention, you know, that this is for such and such, and I don't expect and I don't want any return, right? That has to suffuse your mind. And then when you press the button, when you actually drop the coin or the money into the box, That's what's conditioning you, you see? And then, of course, the evil Mara will turn up and whisper in your ear, you truly are a very generous person. See? So as soon as you hear that, you don't, you know, you say, I saw you, Mara. See, just like the Buddha did. I see you, Mara. You see? You didn't fool me this time, you see? Or he might say something like, that's too much, you know, get some back. You don't want to give that much, see? So that's the old stingy Mara. So as soon as that comes into your mind, you note it, you see, it's there, but that wasn't the intention. That was not conditioning. This is really important, yeah? Remember that the actual conscious intention with which you do something is the main conditioning factor, right? So just keeping that in mind whenever you're going to give something, even to a friend, even if you're going to help them with decoration, you can still do it as a pure gift, right? And that has that effect of developing in us just a natural generosity. So the question is, how do you develop this generosity? Well, I mean, obviously there's things like compassion. You know, if you feel bad about something or bad about some situation, then obviously you're prepared to give. Also for joy, you know, birthdays, Christmas, marriages, you just give naturally because you want the other persons to have even a greater enjoyment, greater joy. But these are dependent, you might say, on those sorts of relationships, of one of compassion or joy. But if we want to develop a sort of general attitude of generosity, the real thing to develop is gratitude, right? And I don't know whether you've ever done this, but if you make a list of everything you've received in life for which you've not paid, for which was just given to you, it can be a bit overwhelming because you realize it's impossible to pay back what you've been given. Just starting with your parents, even if they were the most awful, terrible people in the world who messed up your life completely, the fact is they fed you enough to keep you alive. And in this particular lifetime, you happen to meet the Dharma, which is going to liberate you from suffering. So even for that, you can be grateful, yeah? And then there's, I just made a quick list here, like society, you know, the healthcare you get, the social care, the education. I mean, your parents could not have afforded that. All that was given because of the general commitment of the community towards individuals. Then you've got teachers, you know, just your ordinary teachers through school, the spiritual teachers, all these people have given. And during school, I bet you never gave anything to your teachers. I don't remember. As a teacher, the only thing I ever received was a bottle of wine for one of my students. 8 years for one bottle of wine. That was their expression of, so I can't have been a very good teacher, that's all. That's what I put it down to. Then your employers, you see, you have to thank your employers, whether you like them or not. The point is that they give you work, you know, and it's through your work you earn money, etc., etc. What about the government? See, they never do what you want them to do, but, you know, somebody's got to do the dirty work. So you have to thank them for that. Huh? And then there's all the little things like just the gifts of the day. For instance, I was trying to get on the computer at the center this morning, and Christine and then Dieter, you know, went out of the way to sort of try to get me on. It failed completely, of course. But you know, the fact is that they were there just giving that bit of help. So even during the day, these little things like opening doors, saying, you know, keep well, I hope you're happy and all that, all those are just little offerings to us that we don't recognize as generosity. So once you begin to sort of reflect on the amount of stuff we receive for which we don't have to pay anything, we don't even have to say thank you. I mean, if you think about the dentist, did you walk out of the dentist saying thank you? I'm not It's you know, like you sometimes forget that you know that they've actually given you a service. So if you just make a list of all the things that you've received in this life, then of course there is this, you know, there is this unrequited desire to repay. And of course you can't repay, and I doubt most of these people that I've mentioned would want you to repay, but it invites you to really develop your own generosity. Now, finally, the reason for it, of course, is because it's part of the spiritual path. And the reason for that is, wait till I find my notes here somewhere. Yeah. And so one of the perfections is this generosity, supported by gratitude, which isn't listed, shall we say, is presumed. But the other factor that comes in now is renunciation, just the natural renunciation, right? And what we mean by renunciation is what is not feeding our desire to indulge our desires. So every time we give something away, some of our wealth or some of our time, we're actually renouncing something, right? And that process of renunciation is letting go of all that greed all the greed and everything that comes from acquisitiveness, which is the manifestation of delusion, right? So the more generous we are, the more we're undermining that sense of delusion. And that will eventually, according to the commentaries, unfortunately, it doesn't actually say this in the scriptures, but you can see the logic of it. Just by exercising generosity, that in itself is a path to liberation, right? So you can see that there's a lovely little virtuous circle here of gratitude, generosity, and renunciation, which, as it were, just spirals us. It twirls us up towards Nibbana. So I can only hope my words have been of some assistance, that I have not caused confusion, and that by your devotions of generosity, you will be liberated from all suffering sooner rather than later.